the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Time for some high school football talk here on Drive Time Sports. This past Friday, the Carbon Dinos dipping to 0-2, another competitive contest, but falling 23-14 to Payson. They'll look to get their first win of the year when they take on Duchesne this Friday. It's actually going to be a road contest for Carbon High School. Joining us right now to talk about this past Friday's contest and what lies ahead this Friday, we have head coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Definitely, Coach. We'll start by talking about the contest this past Friday. Another spirited effort for your team. You guys battled tough throughout the second half. You actually managed to win the ball game if you take out the first two quarters. But wrong end of the scoreboard, 23-14 against Payson. Give me your assessment of the game.
You got to play a full game. we were excited about what happened in the second half. You know, our kids, they did a good job coming back and you know, being that second half team that we asked for, but we put ourselves in too much of a deficit in the first half to be able to come back all the way.
You mentioned second half team, and again, if you have paid attention to Carbon High football over the last 5-6 years, I mean, that's something that you could say, okay, well, they played tough in the second half. The difference is you guys are in games while you're playing well in the second half. Like, that's the biggest thing that stands out so far this year.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. Our kids, they want to win. They're fighting extremely hard for it. I think over the next few weeks, we're going to get a couple wins out of these ball games over the next few weeks because of how hard our kids work. You know, they're putting the time in the weight room. They're putting time in practice. They're doing the little things to make themselves better.
Coach, for me, I mean, being able to watch you guys over video this weekend, the one thing that stands out to me about this team is the organization. I mean, that's really what the first thing that just pops to my eyes. I mean, outside of the schemes and everything that you guys are running, this is a very organized team at times.
We are definitely, you know, next man up type of team. We tell our kids, be prepared, because you never know when you're going to be in the ballgame. You know, with 26 kids on the varsity roster, we don't really have the luxury of not being organized. And so if one kid's not ready to go, we don't have the luxury of finding someone else to put in the ball game for him. So everyone is on the sideline, pins and needles, ready to go in the football game.
Well, let's talk about this game in general. Unfortunately for you guys, you do lose quarterback Noah Jones to an injury. I know Noah plays both sides of the football, but it is going to be most noticeable for you guys under center. Can you give us an update on Noah and how he is at this moment?
You know, he was discharged from the hospital shortly after the ball game. They thought things were fine. He woke up Sunday morning, wasn't breathing very well. They think he may have a herniated disc in the neck. So they're, you know, we're just going to take it. It's cautionary right now at this point. He's the type of kid we don't want to lose for his senior year as well. So, you know, we'll take it slow and we'll do what the doctors tell us to do and make sure that we follow all the protocol to get him back into the mix of things.
Now, while Noah goes out of the game, we get a look at Jared Atwood, a sophomore who actually played pretty good football for you guys. And I'm sure you saw quite a few positives from Jared in this game, especially being thrown in at the spur of the moment in the second half the way he was.
Yeah, you know, we definitely did. We have a slightly different playbook than our JV group. And so I told Coach Tapia to run into the locker room real quick, grab his play card. So we went and grabbed his play card. We started crossing off stuff that Jarrett didn't know. And, you know, we just threw him in there and said, okay, if he knows how to run it, great. If not, you know, we're probably going to get tackled for a loss.
It's such a unique situation, but the fact that you guys were able to scramble through it and actually produce some points is impressive in itself.
Well, the hard part of that whole situation was, as soon as it happened, you know, I told Frank, Coach Tapia, to go in and grab his playbook. You know, we give them back the ball, they go down three plays, and then they fumble. And so we're right back in on offense. And that was, you know, that was extremely difficult for us because we didn't have enough time to prepare with Jarrett. And so we kind of threw him, you know, we threw him in the mix of it real quick, and he proved himself that he wanted to play in the game and he wanted to do the things right and actually did a fantastic job throwing the football for us.
Mentally, how do you believe he responded to the situation?
Well, you know, again, it goes back to that next man up. And he was prepared. He'd been working in practice all week. He played in the JV game the night before and had gotten some reps. And so, you know, he felt confident. He felt comfortable. And and I felt comfortable with them in there as well. And so it, you know, it's just one of those things that it works out.
You and I had talked last week about some swelling on Noah's wrist. Did the possibility linger in Jared's head that he would actually get in and get some reps at quarterback this week? And if so, did that help prepare him as well, do you believe?
Well, I, as wide-eyed as he was when we told him he was going in, I don't think so. I think he was pretty shocked that he was getting in the ball game at quarterback, and you know, he did a fantastic job for us.
If we look at some of the other key producers for you guys offensively, Chance Lemonchant, he actually played very well for you guys as well. I mean, you guys did work the ball through the air. Again, I believe he had 11 completions, if I remember correctly. Ashton Larson continues to play good football. So, I mean, through the air, you guys have been pretty productive over two games.
We haven't been too bad. You know, there's a few things that we still need to work on. We don't have the largest wide receivers in the region, and so our passing game has turned into a precision passing game. We have to put the ball in tight windows, and we have to have our athletes go make plays on those footballs.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, let's move ahead and talk about Duchesne. This is a team that everyone throughout the state, doesn't matter what section of the state you're in, you're aware of Duchesne. They've been a powerhouse in the 1A classification for quite some time. So far this season, 2-0. They've outscored their opponents 42-18. This is a good football team, and I don't think at this point anyone lets that 1A warp their opinion on Duchesne. You know they're a football team regardless of the classification.
They definitely are. Coach Cowan does a fantastic job with the young men over there. I know that he's involved with the fifth grade all the way up, and so they've been running the same offense for a very long time. They're very comfortable with what they do. They've got some really, really good wing backs, a really tough fullback, quarterbacks, you know, a decent athlete as well. And so this is a group that just understands how to play the game of football.
You've had some dynamic individuals defensively so far this year, statistic-wise, and you mentioned what Duchesne actually has offensively. Got a kid by the name of Skyler Ford. He's already rushed for over 200 yards in only two contests this year. They really spread the ball around. If Jarrett Spencer, the quarterback, is going to throw the football, he's been able to connect, I believe, on four or five touchdowns this year, but they've all been to different receivers. So, I mean, they have the weapons, which is rare for a 1A school.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, and the group of kids that they have, they've been in a dominant program for a long time, and so they're comfortable with what they do, and, you know, they can beat you multiple ways. They can beat you on the inside with their fullback. They can beat you on the outside with their wings. They can throw it to their tight end. They can throw it to the running backs out of the backfield. So they're a very productive team.
Obviously, during the non-league season, you kind of want to get a feel for everything. So in comparing Manti to Payson to even Duchesne, a team that I'm sure you've begun to study for, how different are these three teams on paper?
You know, they definitely are different from each other. You know, Manti, they're just going to pound the football. They know that they can run the ball on just about anyone, so they do a great job. Payson was kind of an unknown to us. We hadn't played Payson in quite a while, and you know, with their new head coach over the last 2 years, you know, it was an interesting transition going from a team that was a predominant run to a team that liked to throw the ball quite a bit. And so, you know, with Duchesne, we know what they're going to do, and they've been consistent doing it for the last two games. They were in a dogfight the first one where, you know, they didn't quite get things going the way they wanted to, but still came up with a victory. And then in that second game, they put it to North Summit. And so we're excited about the challenge. We don't want to play teams that will roll over and just play dead. And, you know, we're not a team that's going to roll over and play dead either. And so this is going to definitely be, you know, it's going to be a knockdown drag out all the way to the end of this football game.
This will be the third game of the season. At what point in time do you believe the kids are comfortable getting up, going to practice, or going to school, getting up, going to school every day, going to practice every day, and playing games on Friday? At what point does that become just the normal routine for these kids?
You know, we tried to, throughout the whole summer, we tried to start our practices at the same time. So we've been practicing from 3:30 to 5:30 pretty much every day since we began. You know, they should be, you know, a little bit more geared into it now with school, and they understand the time frame that they have to put into it, and they understand what we're asking them to do. And so I believe that our kids are kind of settled in now. I think that you know, we just continue to move forward and continue to build on some of the positive things that we've done over the last 2 weeks.
Well, as far as the entire grand scheme of things so far, Coach, you don't want to single out one individual player. I never like doing that. But at the same time, it's hard to ignore the statistics that Ashton Larson has put up for you guys so far this season. If it's on the defensive side or the offensive side of the football, I know offensively, Nate Olson has gotten a lot of the attention statewide when the media talks about Carbon. And defensively, Ashton has been terrific, and he's also producing for you on both sides of the football. Is this a surprise to you, or did you expect this type of output from Ashton in the early going?
No, we definitely expected this from Ashton. We knew coming into it, he'd put the time in the weight room. And he's been doing the little things all summer long to prepare himself for this season. You know, in the pacing game, he did a fantastic job, had two 15-yard touchdown catches, almost had a third thrown from Nate Olson to him. And so, you know, between the two of them, if we can get, you know, Colin Lewis to produce a few more yards, I've got to do a better job getting Colin the ball on the edge and you know, in the middle. But I think between the three of those players, I think we could have a pretty decent three-headed monster that teams will have a struggle with throughout the year.
The last game, Nate carried the ball 17 times. I believe he had two or three receptions. And so, you know, around 19 to 20 touches a game. Is that where you want his touches, or does that need to be higher? Does it need to be lower? I mean, where do you set that mark out for Nate?
We're about where we need to be. We do need to get Colin Lewis a few more touches. We need to get Colin about 15 touches a game as well. And that, you know, that will balance it up. And we as a coaching staff firmly believe that if we give Colin more touches, Nate will be more productive, because they have to respect both of the running backs. And so, you know, we're going to try to spread it out as much as we can. And we believe that that will help our production all the way around.
Between now and Friday, Coach, we can end with this. What do you implement? What do you try to put emphasis on to get these kids prepared for Duchesne?
Well, we're definitely trying to get our young quarterback up to speed. You know, get him the entire playbook in his hands and make sure that he understands the routes that we're throwing, understands the timing of everything, and just, you know, going to try to polish him up, you know, as we go throughout the week, just so that we're, you know, we can make this a competitive football game.
Coach, I look forward to the conversations every week. Thank you again for the time, and best of luck Friday against Duchesne. We'll talk again real soon.
I definitely appreciate it. Thanks for giving me a phone call.
Absolutely, Coach. My pleasure. We've got a break for just a moment. Got a couple of guests that are going to join us in the studio. We're going to be joined by Tyson Whiting, who covers BYU football for ESPN 960 in Utah County. That's coming up. But after the commercial break, we're going to be quickly joined in the studio by Justin Kennedy. He's the sales manager at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group. He's going to tell us about a phenomenal deal going on, and also, again, some more college football talk. All straight ahead here on this edition of Drive Time Sports.